This is Voices of Our World. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Today's youth, especially Black and Latino youth, are at risk. In America's inner cities, these children, with little money and even less options, are often left to fend for themselves. There have been many studies determining that the most dangerous hours for youth are those following the end of the school day, the so-called latchkey hours. Fortunately, these are the hours that Brotherhood Sister Soul really comes to life, providing these kids with not only a place to go, but a place to belong. 5 days a week, older Brotherhood members, teenagers mostly, receive academic support and participate in enrichment activities designed to stimulate their curiosity and build their self-esteem. In the spirit of unity and cooperation, many of these teens then help their younger peers build reading skills and reflect on who they are and what they want to be. In addition, the Brotherhood Sister Soul volunteers assist the staff in providing tutoring, instruction, and guidance to the students. Brotherhood Sister Soul also features a rotating schedule of classes, such as acting, cooking, photography, poetry, karate, and computer video technology. Or in other words, enough fun stuff to make any kid smile. We return to our interview with Brotherhood Sister Soul co-founders Jason Warwin and Carrie Lazar White, and Associate Director Cedra Sebastian.
Given the sad state that these children are often left in due to societal, institutional, parental ills in general, how did you draft the curriculum for this organization, for Brotherhood? What did you think were the aspects most missing from these children's lives, and what did you want to instill in them that perhaps may allow them or grant them the gifts to overcome such obstacles?
Ultimately, when we sat down and we were trying to create the curriculum, what we were thinking about was developing critical thinkers. And that was the number one goal, that we wanted young people who could think for themselves, who could weigh different opinions and come to their own conclusions. And we very much did not want kids who were just going to kind of listen to what we said and take it as gospel just because it was an older person telling them. And so we oftentimes, when we do teach, want kids to actually question us and to look and research what we're actually saying to make sure that it fits with their own beliefs. But ideally, in terms of creating the curriculum, what we did was sit down and think about what are the issues that these young people are facing that we feel they need to develop an awareness of. And so we literally sat down with pen and paper and kind of outlined what are the issues that we feel young people need to develop this awareness of. And, you know, so at the time we were thinking about, you know, drugs and how impactful that has been in a lot of the young people's lives. So they need to understand, one, you know, what are the effects of these drugs on our bodies, because they are going to grow up in a society where it's going to be available to them, and maybe at times already is. And so thinking about that and thinking about how the drug trade also affects our community, because many of our young people are lured into the trade through either friends or associates or through financial need. And we also thought about, you know, our society being a sexist society and the fact that young men are taught to be sexist as they grow up. And at the time when we were creating the initial curriculum anyway, it was a group of young men that we were thinking about. So also thinking about how can we help them to kind of unlearn some of the stereotypes that they've generally learned at growing up in our society through the media, through music, through TV, and sometimes even through our own families and through our schools, where men are often dominant within the literature. We thought about them taking bigger control and responsibility for the politics of their own communities, that there's oftentimes no education as to how you really take responsibility for who's mayor in your community, who's the city council, how do you address the community board. Like, these are the institutions of political power that control our very lives, and yet many young people have no awareness of how those systems work. And so wanting to have them develop a broader awareness of that. And so we just outlined the areas, and we went through to the point where we had 10 different focus issues that we use to this day that help our young people to develop a broader awareness of these issues.
Describe the average day at the program. How many children are there? What are the actual hours? How many teachers, et cetera? What is the actual atmosphere like on the average day at Brotherhood Sister Soul?
Well, I think just in thinking about one day this week. We have an amazing staff of 16 people who work here. We all get in between 10 and 12 o'clock and doing prep work for when the young people come in. We have people who are main responsibility are to help with fundraising and networking for the organization. And right around 2:30, that's when the life breathes into the organization, when the young people start coming in, our 6 to 12-year-olds for our elementary after-school program, our teens trickle in shortly thereafter, and the brownstone really starts to awaken at that time and stays up until about 7:30 or 8 o'clock. And we have a whole lot of programs ranging from tutoring, enrichment activities. There's always a healthy snack or meal here for the young people to have. Might be a Money Matters course that's taking place for the teen program. Members of our Liberation Program working to recruit other young people who are interested in becoming youth activists. Members who are going on our International Study Program to Brazil, learning some more about the country and the landless movement or favela communities, or brainstorming fundraising ideas for that in-country experience. Members of our Rites of Passage program coming in to check in with their chapter leaders or to have session here at the Brownstone and deal with different issues that relate to sisterhood, womanhood, and leadership, or brotherhood, manhood, and leadership. So we really start to get live about 2:30 here and usually stay open till about 7:30 or 8 o'clock and sometimes often later because we just understand how important it is to give our time to young people. And for the chapter leaders in particular, it's asset. They are available to their members 24/7. They have our cell phone numbers. They have our home numbers, many of them. They know that they can reach us and call us at any time for anything, whether it's just to check in and say what's up or to really talk about an issue that they can't speak with their parents about or their friends about or their teachers about. And also because we provide legal services for our members, if something goes down and we need to step in, then we're there to do that and to provide them with the legal support that they need to handle a situation.
This is Voices of Our World, and we're talking about the plight of inner-city Black and Latino youth with Brotherhood Sister Soul co-founders Jason Warwin and Carrie Lazar White and Associate Director Cedra Sebastian. It is said that youth are the leaders of tomorrow. Historically, young people have been at the forefront of many liberation efforts, providing vision, spirit, and commitment to revolutionary movements throughout the world. With this in mind, Brotherhood Sister Soul has developed the Liberation Program and many other projects aimed at preparing Black and Latino youth for community leadership. The ultimate goal of Brotherhood Sister Soul, in addition to teaching students about their history, culture, and the various social and political forces surrounding them, is to help empower these children to become dependable and insightful women and men who have knowledge of societal inequalities and prejudices, as well as the conviction to lead the fight against them. We conclude our interview with Brotherhood Sister Soul co-founders Jason Warwin and Carrie Lazar White and Associate Director Cedra Sebastian.
Well, you mentioned a ton of things that these children have to deal with in terms of their home lives, their schools, etc. You described how you've taken these children to some life-altering experiences in Brazil or fishing or the theater or things that are usually absent from the average inner-city kid's life. Are they aware of the fact that these are almost privileges to a certain extent from someone from their background, unfortunately? Many of the studies coming out right now seem to at least imply that today's children are facing many more obstacles and a much more complicated set of issues than, let's say, the children of the last generation. What would you say is, A, the most acute problem that these children tend to suffer? For example, are they lacking self-confidence? Is it their education, their reading level? What is the most obvious manifestation of the ills of their growing up? And B, what do you think about the children of today? Are you pessimistic? Are they better? Are they worse? Has New York City itself gotten better as from when you were a child or a kid not too long ago, perhaps?
One aspect of that answer, anyway, in terms of an issue, and I think we've been talking about it a lot within our organization, that we see amongst young people is depression. And I think it's symptomatic of a lot of things that are going wrong with our society in general. But it seems to be on the rise, and it manifests itself not necessarily in all of the clinical ways, although that's there as well, but more of a sense, I think, from a lot of young people of hopelessness for the future. You know, there tends to be an idea amongst young people that, you know, at some stage in your life that the world, the sky's the limit, you can do anything you want. But I think for a lot of our young people, the realities of our society are beat into their head that no, you know, that these things aren't for you. You can't accomplish those things. These areas are closed. What we have really tried to do in many cases is to help them to really, one, acknowledge and deal with the fact that they are living in a very difficult and challenging time, as you described, but also to look and find, one, what are their gifts and their skills and their talents that they can utilize and bring forth and be proud of, and then, two, how can they use those things, one, to accomplish their own individual goals, but to begin to help create a difference in our society. And I think we've got a lot of examples of young people who are doing just that. Our organization is now 11 years old, and we've got a whole over 100, I guess it is, alumni now who are out in the world, and many of them are doing really incredible things with their lives. And I definitely think for a lot of us, that's what gives us, you know, hope in the future. We can see that there's another generation coming up that is focused on trying to change things and not just accept things the way they are.
How can people get more information or volunteer or donate to Brotherhood Sister Soul?
They can check out our website. It's www.brotherhood-sistersoul.org, and Sister Soul is S-I-S-T-E-R-S-O-L. They can give us a phone call. They can come by to our brownstone and request a tour. We always need extra hands to help us do this work. We have a great team of volunteers now who are part of our friends group that help us to pull together special fundraising events. People are always welcome and encouraged to come and find out all the different ways that they can come in. And of course, always to make donations, whether it's in-kind donations of giving a good working computer to a young person who might be going away to school, or making a donation that will help for us to sustain our programs and sustain the space for our youth.
Well, that's a lovely way to end this interview. The sun has just come out, apparently. I guess all the optimism in the room has made a difference. So I want to thank you for joining us today on Voices of Our World. Once again, we have the Brotherhood Sister Soul Organization, and we're here with the founder and director, Jason Warwin, Kari Lazar-White, and Cedra Sebastian. Thank you for joining us today.
What do you think? Is being a kid today harder or easier than in the past? Email us at radio@marynoel.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us. You can also call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. Our website is www.voicesofourworld.org, where you can listen, learn more about today's guests and topics, answer our weekly question, or subscribe to our podcast. Please, go to www.voicesofourworld.org. To learn more about Mary Knoll or try Mary Knoll Magazine in English or Spanish, call 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Please join us next time for more Voices of Our World.